Each year, the commencement speaker is selected in close consultation with the senior class. I present to you Will Alston, Vice President of the senior class, who will introduce our commencement speaker. Will?
What's up? Get hype, class of 2000. Good morning, friends, families, guests, and graduates to the class of 2000. It gives me great pleasure to introduce to you this year's commencement speaker. He was inducted into Phi Beta Kappa as a junior and graduated with honors in 1964 in political science from the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. As a student, he was involved in numerous activities ranging from the Daily Tar Heel to the Order of the Old Well to working in the Student Attorney General's office. In 1967, he earned his law degree from Harvard. He served as research director of Hubert Humphrey's 1968 presidential campaign and an aide at the White House during Lyndon Johnson's administration. From 1970 to 1976, he was a lawyer and partner with the firm of Powell, Goldstein, Frazier, and Murphy in Atlanta, Georgia. During the early 80s, he served as chairman of his firm's Washington, D.C. office and lectured at Harvard's John F. Kennedy School of Government. He represents the President and Secretary of State on Holocaust issues. From 1993 to 1996, he served as U.S. Ambassador to the European Union and was honored with the Foreign Affairs Award for Public Service. From 1997 to 1999, he served as an Under Secretary of State and was awarded a Distinguished Honor Award from Secretary Madeleine Albright. He currently serves as Deputy Secretary of the Treasury, which is the second highest ranking official in the Treasury. His career mirrors the ideals that Carolina works to instill in his students. Please join me in welcoming Mr. Stuart Eisenstadt.
Thank you very much, Will. President Broad, Chancellor McCoy, Bill Friday, and fellow Tar Heels. Congratulations to each of the members of the graduating class as you graduate from the oldest state university in the United States and the best. I've never felt more honored than to give this address and receive an honorary degree. It's been a sweet weekend of memories because among the best 4 years of my life were spent right here in what is truly the southern part of heaven. The only note of sadness is that I was originally invited to receive my degree by Chancellor Michael Hooker. Tragically, he is not here today, but his life, his spirit, and his service to Carolina will continue to inspire all of us as we look ahead to the leadership of your new chancellor, James Meeser. But no one has been more inspired by Michael Hooker's memory than Bill McCoy. Bill, you have provided great leadership under difficult circumstances. We are all indebted to you, as we are to Provost Dick Richardson, who is also retiring and who will be greatly missed. Dick and Bill, thank you. Yours is the first graduating class of the 21st century, and it's your century. What an exciting adventure awaits you. You are at the leading edge of the information revolution and the new economy it's created. And like the industrial revolution of the 19th century, this one will profoundly change every aspect of your lives. It will give you more access to information. It will create more job opportunities. It will make you more productive in your work. It will provide more choices of lifestyle and leisure than any generation of Americans has ever enjoyed. It will change the way you shop, communicate, entertain each other, and educate your children. In your hands, far more than in mine, or your parents, or your professors, will lie the power to grasp the opportunities and meet the challenges of this remarkable new revolution. You are among the most fortunate and privileged young people in our country and indeed in the world. The University of North Carolina has given you the capabilities to assure yourselves a secure future, and I hope you'll use them to the fullest to achieve your economic goals and dreams. But your Carolina degree is more than a ticket to a bountiful payday. It is a call to act as responsible citizens of a broader American and world community. I urge you to balance your opportunity to be successful .com men and .com women with service to your community, to your nation, and to your world. Make a lifetime commitment to improving the communities in which you will live, extending the prosperity you will certainly enjoy to others less fortunate, and to offering the freedoms of this greatest of nations to peoples around the globe. Over 100 years ago, Oliver Wendell Holmes Jr. urged all of us to share in the passions and actions of our time at the peril of being judged not to have lived at all. And almost 35 years ago, Robert Kennedy said to students at Berkeley, "You can use your privilege and opportunity to seek purely private pleasure and gain. But history will judge you, and as the years pass, you will judge yourselves by the extent to which you've used your gifts to lighten and to enrich the lives of your fellow human beings. Public service in the broadest sense can give each of you the opportunity to make a difference in the lives of others while ennobling your own. I came to Chapel Hill as a shy, retiring freshman with no expectation of spending a large part of my life in the White House and in other areas of the public arena. That I have done so comes from the inspiration and experiences I received right here. I learned, as you did, from Carolina's world-class professors. I heard in this very stadium President Kennedy's stirring 1961 University Day address, in which he challenged my generation to give our country a portion of our lives and all of our knowledge and loyalty. I was involved in Carolina's unique student government and in a Carolina-sponsored summer internship in Congress. Being at Chapel Hill at the dawn of the Civil Rights Movement gave me a determination to help correct the injustices of the disadvantaged. I watched sit-ins started by students only a few miles from this stadium set off very powerful emotions in Chapel Hill and across the South. Some students at that time charged that the Civil Rights Movement had begun in Moscow, and our former Carolina president, Frank Porter Graham, told us in Memorial Hall on this campus, "No," he said, "it didn't begin in Moscow, it began in Greensboro." Along with teaching and research, public service is one of the three pillars upon which this great institution has been built. The degree of service that this university provides to the people of its state and the affection that its people return for this university is absolutely unique in this country. The world-renowned research triangle, the growth of industry, agriculture, arts, and culture are the fruits of this partnership. For over 200 years, this state, our country, and the world have benefited from the public service of UNC alumni. Not only people like Terry Sanford and Frank Porter Graham and Bill Friday and Susie Sharp and Walter Dillinger and Tom Lambeth, but countless others less well known who served, as I hope you will, their communities with distinction. In the history of the Western world, the paradigm for public service was the pure democracy of ancient Athens, where every citizen was expected to play a role in government. The representative democracy our founding fathers created for us was premised on an active and engaged citizenry. And I'm going to be frank with you, we've all fallen very far from that ideal. In the last election, only 36% of those of us who were eligible voted at all. In this most important obligation of citizenship, the United States ranks near the bottom of the world's democracies. We have become too complacent about our democracy, too cynical about our political leadership, too disdainful of public servants, too dismissive of our own government. Far too many of us live in our own cocoon, believing that private betterment is the sole definition of our lives. And how ironic that this attitude has happened at the very pinnacle of American influence in the world. Over the past two decades, with American inspiration, 32 countries have turned from dictatorships to democracies. The victory of the United States and our allies in the Cold War over the former Soviet Union was a victory for American values. Our music and our movies, our language and our culture and currency pervade every corner of the globe. Our free market economic system that we've championed has now spread first to Latin America and then to Eastern Europe, Asia, and now to Africa. It's up to your generation, to pick up our slack and to restore idealism and service to the center of this nation's agenda. In our great country, we can freely express our opinions and practice our religion. We can run our lives with minimal interference. We are protected from foreign foes and domestic threats. We achieve prosperity beyond the dreams of any peoples in the world. Through public service, you can repay your country and help assure that future generations enjoy these unparalleled benefits. Public service will give you a feeling like nothing else can duplicate, the psychic and personal satisfaction of knowing you have helped others. It's the best response to the questions raised by the great sage Hillel: if I'm not for myself, then who will be? But if I'm only for myself, what am I? And if not now, when? Each of you can make more of a difference than you can now possibly imagine by giving of your time and your talent to public service and public issues. And there are so many ways that you can serve. The most lasting impact you can have is a full-time career in government, civilian or military, local, state or federal. Be a teacher. There's no more important public service than shaping the future of our most precious resource, our children. Henry Adams said, "A teacher affects eternity," and new opportunities will abound as demand for teachers will explode to give our kids in the 21st century the skills they need. Serve in the uniform military. It's as important as ever and more varied and exciting in our post-Cold War era. America's soldiers remain our frontline soldiers and fighters, but they're also more often America's best emissaries abroad as peacekeepers and as providers of humanitarian service to the far corners of the world. Or consider temporary government service between private sector jobs, the path that I've chosen. One of the great strengths of the American government, in contrast to the more ossified models abroad, is that we encourage periods of brief public service, bringing the best private sector ideas into public life, and then imbuing those who serve with the common purposes of public service as they go back to private life. For graduates, indeed for old and young alike, there are multiple opportunities for these temporary service periods, from the Peace Corps abroad to AmeriCorps at home. I know that full or even part-time government service is not a favorite career for many young people today. There is a pervasive and, to be frank, not unfounded feeling that our politics is polluted by too much partisanship, too much character assassination, and too much money. All of this is true, but the solution is engagement, not estrangement. Winston Churchill said it best: be an actor and not just a critic. I've dealt with countless foreign governments on almost every continent on this globe. And I believe when you look back at home, our political leaders are the most accessible, ethical, honest, and scrutinized, and our political system the most open. And our career civil servants who do the daily work of government are nonpartisan, highly competent, dedicated, and as devoted as any in the world. nor should you be deterred from public service by the false notion that government is no longer relevant to your lives. For sure, private enterprise powers our economy, creates our jobs, and is the cutting edge of this new revolution. But the role of government, while different from the past, will be critical to the success of the information revolution. Government will still be called upon to do its traditional and essential functions, which it does well, but it will have a whole set of new tasks in the information age. It was federally funded research that achieved the scientific breakthroughs that made the internet possible. In an age of computers, government must help to protect our personal privacy from those who will know everything about us. It can help bridge a new digital divide, which threatens to leave even further behind the tens of millions of Americans, the 20% of this world's population that lives on a dollar or less a day, and hundreds of millions of others in developing countries who have no access to the new telecommunications and computer technology. Government must provide ways that our workers will gain the skills to compete in a global economy, and must enforce laws against cyber attacks like we've seen just in the last few days, and also to assure that our astounding new technology isn't misused. We must never forget perhaps the key lesson of the 20th century, of its wars and of the Holocaust, and that is technology in the wrong hands can be destructive. The information revolution can and will be a great force for improving our country and world, for involving our citizens in direct democracy, for enhancing your ability to shape public decisions, for organizing your favorite causes with people the world over. But it can also permit hate groups and pornographers and terrorist groups to disseminate and organize more easily. Bioengineering can expand agricultural production and will cure diseases, but it will also require government-established rules as the ability to clone and to change human nature itself increases. Public service, of course, doesn't have to be performed through government to be effective. You can make your country and your world a better place by working for any one of hundreds of non-governmental organizations and foundations involved in a myriad of public issues, conservative or liberal, faith-based or secular. In this great country, these organizations and foundations have far more influence over public decisions than in any other country in the world. You can also serve in voluntary organizations in your own communities. You can lend your expertise as doctors and lawyers, accountants and business executives, and as housekeepers as well, to those less fortunate than yourselves. You can build a house with Habitat for Humanity. You can help in a homeless shelter. You can bring meals to the elderly. You can assist minority business. You can coach a little league or a soccer team. You can involve yourselves in your children's PTA. You can volunteer in a political campaign for your favorite candidate. There are new signs, I believe, that a new spirit of public interest and public spirit is taking hold. We can be proud that the University of North Carolina is taking a national leadership role in encouraging this new commitment to public service. The new Center for Public Service at Carolina will train and encourage Carolina students to get involved. The North Carolina Teaching Fellows Program provides a free Carolina education in return for teaching in North Carolina's public schools. The APPLES program that some of you have used builds community service into a wide variety of Carolina courses. You, the Carolina students of this class, have built on a long tradition of social consciousness. You've helped the victims of Hurricane Floyd. You've raised money for Children's Hospital at the Dance Marathon. You've become involved in protecting the global environment. You've helped organize the National Anti-Sweatshop Initiative to protect workers from abuse. One student in your class has even created Heels on Wheels to provide food for the homeless after she found herself with extra meals in her campus meal plan. You're setting the example for us and for my generation. There's a stirring among citizens across America to be involved in public issues, as groups are marching on Washington for a variety of causes. The U.S. Chamber of Commerce has just established a new Center for Corporate Citizenship to put the muscle of America's corporations into helping people cope with natural and human disasters. The information revolution is breeding a new wave of private philanthropy. Some of our most successful business leaders are giving unparalleled amounts to tackle society's most difficult and important problems. The founder of eBay has endowed a new college of citizenship and public service at his alma mater, saying that being an active citizen involved in public service is something you can think of and should think of every day. But let me give you an example to inspire us all, because you don't have to be a millionaire to involve yourself in the new philanthropy. Osceola McCarty of Hattiesburg, Mississippi, worked for 75 years as a laundress. She saved, unbeknownst to anyone, every penny that she could. And when she died recently at the age of 91, she gave an astounding, through her will, $151,000 to Southern Mississippi University for a scholarship fund. So I ask you, as this century's first graduating class, to set an example not only for your generation, but for my generation, and for your parents' generation, and for your professors' generation, by making a lifetime commitment to public engagement. It will elevate your lives. America and the world await your public service in whatever form suits you best. You're the lucky ones. Share that good fortune that awaits you, and it'll come back to increase the richness of your lives tenfold. And while you're at it, stay connected to UNC. Strengthen and support the university that has given you the tools to succeed economically, but hopefully also the inspiration to serve others. I close with words of Winston Churchill for another generation of young people. You have not an hour to lose. Take your places in life's fighting line. 20 to 25 years of age, these are the years. Don't be content with things as they are. The earth is yours and the fullness thereof. Enter upon your inheritances. Accept your responsibilities. Don't take no for an answer. Never submit to failure. Don't be fobbed off with mere personal success or acceptance. You will make all kinds of mistakes, but as long as you're generous and true, you cannot hurt the world or distress her. She was made to be wooed and won by youth, and that's you. Good luck and Godspeed to you and UNC, which you now leave for the broader world, a world waiting for you to make it better. Go get them.
Thank you, Mr. Eisenstadt, for those inspirational words, those provocative remarks. We will take to heart, I'm sure, those great words.